We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to do a little recap of the beginning of the chapter, maybe a little bit a recap from yesterday, but then we want to deal with these latter verses, verses 7 through 14. We want to deal with the latter half, really not even all the way to 7, but verses 12 through the end of the chapter. But I'm gonna ask if somebody can read from verse 7 through 18.
But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stone, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you and we bless and praise your holy, your righteous, your omnipotent, your omniscient name. To know that you alone are God, all by yourself, and beside you there is none other. God, we thank you for this word. And to know that, oh God, as we behold with open face, we all behold as in a glass your glory of the Lord, and we're being changed into the very image. And that open face means that, God, there are no blockages from us in your presence. We have your word. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Oh, God, there are no restrictions to the limit of what we can, Lord, just glean from you in your word. And the more we get in it, the more we meditate and are broken to the word, God, the greater your life and your love is turned up in us. And that's through intimacy. The greater we get in your word, oh God, the more compelled we will be to die to ourselves. So God, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you. We pray, oh God, that you just by your Spirit take over this Bible study, that you will speak to our hearts intently, oh God, just the things that you have to say to us, even myself. You said, Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You also said in your word, oh God, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by your Spirit. Move by your Spirit from heart to heart, from breast to breast, whatever people are going through, oh God, this evening. God, we pray that you just liberate, sanctify, and set free. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We just thank God for this chapter. We were here this morning, and I'm not going to go back over the same things that we did this morning, but there may be some similarities. There may be a couple verses that we repeat again and to kind of give a recap. Just to give a recap of what we were dealing with this morning, He said, you know, in verse one, you know, we know about the letters. They wanted letters. They were still under legalism. They were still looking for epistles of commendation. They were still looking for letters of commendation. So they were still in even in all that this church had going on in Corinth, with the influence of the world and the town and everybody that was in the town, they were still attacked with the spirit of Judaism. They were still attacked with that. In this this town, think about y'all influence, right? The influence that they had on them and the statue, right? And the and all of this influence, even still in the midst, was the spirit of Judaizing, was the spirit of still trying to keep the law. Right. And when I think about this word influence, I think about the culture and the curse of the culture, even what we deal with now. And the influence that we deal with even right now. Think about the three Hebrew boys and Daniel and what they had to deal with and the influence that they had to contend with even back in Babylon with King Nebuchadnezzar and the statues. And so Corinth was no different. It wasn't, I won't put it on the level as Babylon, but they had influence in that town. They had influence and it was in impacting the church. And even in the midst, Satan was doing all he could to distract from the word, even in those that were keeping the law. And Paul really dealt with this in those that were keeping the law, right? And then he goes on to let them know that the letter killeth, but it's the spirit that gives life, right? For as much as you are manifestly declared to be epistles of Christ, ministered by us with not with ink, but with the spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to God, to Godward. And so he was just letting them know, yo, capital S, it's the spirit of the living God. Amen. And this was not just, and I talked about this a little bit this morning, not just a metaphor, but literally as Paul ministered in Corinth, it was the penetration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The living word of God. And even when Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send one, the helper, the Parakletos. Amen. And you notice he didn't say the Parakletos is going to come out of me. Right. And this is so important. Right. Not that the Parakletos will come out of me, but Parakletos means alongside. We will send him. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's important for us to understand and to grasp that we don't have a less than Christ living in us. We have the person of Jesus Christ. We have the person of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And it's so important to understand that. It's not a feely, catchy, goosebumpy thing, but it's the word of God. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. It's our love affair with Christ that illumines this deposit that we have called the Holy Spirit. And so that's why he spent so much time letting them know, right, about this Holy Spirit and the Spirit, because he was trying to bring them from the law, right? This is the big comparison here. Was from the law versus the spirit. Bring them from the law to the spirit. Bring them from works to faith. Bring them from trying to do it myself. Bring them to submission. Submission. Submission and subjection. Subjecting our will. Subjecting our lives to God that he might work his work through us. Amen. So when he goes on to talk to them. Listen, all these verses are instructional. These are instructed to the church. And it's important to recognize that even on, and as we're recapping, the Lord just kind of placed something on my heart from yesterday, from chapter 2, right? And the one that was offensive against Paul, who committed sin in the church, and as he had to get the church, you got to remember something. Paul's writing these letters. He's writing these letters, and he's writing these letters to the leaders of the church, which the leaders, eventually these letters became public because they ended up in the Word of God. We know that. But primarily, he writes these letters to the leaders. And as he instructed the leaders to deal with this man, whether it was the one that was caught in adultery or whether it was the one who challenged his apostolic, whatever it was a great sin. And he attacked Paul. And so the church, Paul challenged the church to deal with it. You know, and it's funny, the church went from letting it go, not dealing with it, everybody knowing about it. And all of a sudden, when Paul challenged them on it, boom, now they all rush to jump to deal with it, right? But they went over, and they went overboard, even in the way they dealt with it, because they dealt with them out of condemnation. But they had to bring him back to love. And that's, thank God for prayer yesterday, dealt with the forgiveness and how we ought to restore. The same way God dealt with us is the same way we ought to restore somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so how this ties into chapter 3, when we talk about the law, when he says the law killeth, right? But it's the Spirit that giveth life, right? And when we see a primary example of this law with David and Nathan. Nathan came and told David about the story of a man that had an ewe lamb, right? I don't know if I'm saying the name of the lamb right, but he had a small lamb, and he only had one. And Nathan came and told David and said, but this rich man who already had sheep, he already had lambs, he came, and he took that man's lamb, right? And David got angry, and David got upset. And what did David say? David said, I'm going to kill him. Amen. And Nathan turned to David and said, David, you're the man, but you shall not die. Amen. And so that, there we see an example of the law versus grace. Mm-hmm. None of us could keep the law. We were all Davids in our own right. And it's easy to have a pharmaceutical. Sunday I said Sagittutical. I don't even know if that's a word. But it's so quick. We're so quick to get to that level. And don't get me wrong. Guess what, y'all? We've got to deal with truth in the church. We've got to deal with order in the church. We've got to deal with sin in the church. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Especially public sin, it has to be addressed. Amen. But the order, Paul was challenging the church. He was challenging the leadership to deal with it. Amen. Not just everybody. You know, so we can't get to the place where we say, oh, you know, I see something. You don't even know the person, right? But you've seen them coming out the bar. So you're going to jump to get on that person to talk about, you know, your that's not the order that God has set up for the church. Amen. But if we see something, and that's what's happened over the years, where we don't even know the person, but we're quick to point out what somebody got on or what somebody's wearing. Or, you know, or whatever it is. Oh, she got a baby. She ain't mad. Or whatever it is, we're quick. We're quick to take the stance of David and not the stance of, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, listen, y'all, I'm not saying that the sin does not have to be dealt with. It's not what I'm saying. But it's how you deal with it that matters. Amen. And so it's got to be. And I think I used the illustration of the woman caught in adultery and how Christ, mm-hmm. he forgave her. How he dealt with it. Even the woman at the well. Right. He exposed her to her sin. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, even the one you with is not yours. That's the breaking of the heart to expose the sin. She could have walked away, but she stayed and Christ witnessed to her. He ministered to her to restore her back. Amen. And that's how it is because y'all know we're quick. We can be quick to not know somebody and come down and there's no grace in it. Amen. And guess what? If you see somebody, you see somebody living in sin, the first thing I like to say, pray for them. Because guess what? I can't craft a Sunday school lesson. You know what? I'm going to deal with this sin. Right? You know what I mean? We pray for them. And I thank God for Reverend Williams who always says, man, the word will address it. Don't get me wrong. As the pastor, Deacon Wright and the deacons, we've dealt with more things than people even know about. Amen. Not to bring it all public, right? But we've dealt with it. And there's a way to deal with it. Not everybody just not knowing what's really going on. But the first thing you do is you pray. Amen. You pray. And guess what? I believe, you know, it's through knowing the person. Get to know the young person. Amen. And do it in love. And I thank God, boy, I could give y'all some examples. I could give y'all some examples of just some mothers that were in my life. Older men that were in my life. Leaders in the church that knew how to correct the right way. Amen. Thank God. Amen. I thank God. Listen, I thank God, boy. And I heard it come the right way. Mother Bussy, you know, just different ones. And I thank God, even Sister Claudia Williams, evangelist, was talking about your dress and everything and modesty. And she said, sometime I got to do a jump test. Mm-hmm. And she started jumping up and down, right? And we just fell out laughing, right? But the way she did it, she bought it in love. Amen. And I thank God. And this is what Paul was saying. Be not ignorant of Satan's devices, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Verse 10 in chapter 2 says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sake, forgive I it in the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen. So I just kind of wanted to share that. But then as we go on in this verse 7 of chapter 3 says, but if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Amen. 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 And just think about it. That was a ministration that was to be done away with, right? Of death, written and engraven in stone. That was an outward keeping of the law. An external keeping of the law, not internal. He says, but now that we have the Spirit living in us, right? And think about this. We were talking this morning about if the ministration of death could light up the face of Moses, which was fading away. Listen, and that fading away means something. glory, which is more administration of righteousness, it was fading away. That meant it wasn't meant to sustain. It wasn't meant to be the ultimate fulfillment, but it was meant to be the schoolmaster to point us to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it was meant to do. And if that which was fading away was glorious, what do you think we have in us? We ought to light up. We ought to light up our environment. Y'all know that? We are the light of the world. Amen. And the Spirit is in us. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. But it's the Christ that lives in us that ought to speak through us and for us and shine through us. Amen. And so when we talk about, listen, the ministration of death, and how shall not the ministration of the Spirit, verse 8, be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doeth the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which was done away, if that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Amen. And we see here, guess what? It's no longer an external relationship, but it's an inward relationship that we have. That's why in Jeremiah 31:33, he says, I will put my laws where? In their inward parts. That's what he wanted. That's what Christ, that's what the Lord wanted for day one. He never wanted an external relationship with us. So that's why he says, the letter killeth, but it's the Spirit that giveth life. Because we can't keep it. We can't work this word. We can't do it, y'all. Going to church. And I hear Reverend Williams always talking about listening to sermons and all this stuff is not enough. And one thing we're going to talk about tonight is being intimate with the Word of God. We've got to get intimate. Because guess what? It's our intimacy and our love affair with Jesus Christ that leads us to death. And it's our death that leads to abundant fruit. Amen. Sunday we talked about the compelling grace, right? We talked about compelling suffering and how Paul suffered. But then we talked about compelling manifestation or the compelling fruit that came as a result of the suffering of self. So when we see here, even from the Old Testament, God says, I've loved you with what? An everlasting love. He's loved us from the foundation of the world. He prepared that land. And so when he says here, Jeremiah 31:33, I will put my law in my inward parts. I will write it in their hearts. Ezekiel 36:26 says, a new heart will I give unto you. I will place a new heart within you and take out the stony heart of clay. I will take it out. Amen. We see the urgency and the love. And we see the urgency of God the Father wanting to be in us. We see the urgency of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, he said, John chapter 16, he said, it's expedient for me to go away. Because if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. Right? Christ, he died an expedient death. He pursued doing the will of God. And he prayed for us in John chapter 17 that we will be one as him and the Father are one, that he would live in us and that we would live in him. And y'all, guess what? Never, ever underestimate or devalue or depreciate the Holy Spirit that lives in you. I'm telling you. And the reason why I've heard people say, I just don't feel nothing. I'm just not feeling this. Because it's not about your feelings. It's about getting in the Word of God, and God will deal with your faith. Amen. It's about your faith, not about your feelings. And guess what? When God jumpstarts my faith, sometimes we need a jumpstart, right? Right? And it's the Word of God that does it. And with the Word of God, listen, we can't allow our feelings to dictate our relationship. But it's our relationship in Christ and the Word of God that must dictate our feelings. Your feelings will catch up. I know I'm right about it. I know I'm right about it. Boy, some mornings I get up, I'm just not feeling it. Am I all by myself? You just not, man. You don't feel like facing the day. You don't feel like going to work. You don't feel like dealing with folk. But guess what? You spend some time in the Word of God. And I've been there even after we've got off the line or before we've got on the line. And you get in this Word, you meditate in this Word. And I'm telling you, God begins to speak. He begins to do something on the inside. And I'm telling you, it's like I got my B12 shot for the day. Amen. I get to work. And guess what? How do people that don't know Christ, how do you make it? This world is depressing. It's depressing. Man, you can feel the spirit of hopelessness. You can feel it. In Philadelphia, I work in Philadelphia. I just came from Philadelphia. You can cut it with a knife, the spirit of depression and doom and gloom. That's why, listen, I know, y'all. I'm always talking about my job, right? But I can't help it. That's where I am. I'm in an environment. Amen. When Isaiah said in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was what? High and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And he said, woe is me. I'm undone. And not only that, but I live amongst a people who are undone and unclean. And that's how I feel like, man, listen, God has called us to wherever we go, if it's your home, to spread the light of Christ. We are his epistle, written and heard and seen of men. And that's the light of the Holy Ghost that lives in us. Amen. Amen. So let's keep on moving. So he goes on to say, in verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, which remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is to be done away with in Christ. And so, y'all, you know, and he's referring to Exodus. He's referring to Exodus 34, chapter 34. When you get time, you might want to read Exodus chapter 34, because after Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, and a lot of people think, well, he put the veil, listen to this, he put the veil over his face because it was too bright, right? They couldn't behold the glory. No, what was happening is the glory on his face was starting to fade, right? So the folks could, you know, and when he came down, he had that glory, the brightness of God, being in the presence of God, right? I mean, no animal could even touch the mountain without being struck down. Children of Israel couldn't get on the mountain. It was him and God. He told Miriam, the sister, I come to visions in people, you know what I mean, in dreams, but Moses, I've spoken to the face. There was not a man found more meek than Moses. And he spoke with them to the face, and he gave them the Ten Commandments, or he gave them this law, right? And when he gave them this law, his, because, you know, they was cutting up down there, down that hill, down that mountain. And when he came down, and as he started to mingle and talk, first, when they first saw it, they was like, man, they was like, stand back, because the presence of God was still on him. But then after a while, it began to fade. Moses kept the veil, even though it was fading. The law was fading. The law was never meant to take the place of the Holy Spirit, of God living in us. And as that law was fading, he kept the veil over his face, right? Where he should have took it off. And as Moses, verse 13, put the veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly, could not look steadily at his face to the end of which is abolished. Amen. To the end of what was, that means passing away. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil. Somebody say same veil.
Same veil.
Same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is to be done away with in Christ. And I got news for y'all. I got news for y'all. There are people in the Baptist church. There are people in Christian churches that still preach every sermon out of the Old Testament. Amen. That don't preach Christ. They'll fancy Christ. They'll mention Christ. They'll tie Christ in at the end of the sermon, right? But they're still stuck in the Old Testament, or they're stuck in the parables of Christ. They'll preach about the good things of Christ and what he did and opening up the eyes and feeding the 5,000, right? They'll deal with the story, but never get to the application. So whether they're Jews, Gentiles, Baptist folk, religious folk, amen, the veil is still on their hearts. And they still have an external religion and relationship with the Lord. Amen. And guess what, man? And guess what? Even the Jews and the Judaizers and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were blind. This veil was still on their hearts. This veil was still blocking them. They did not see Christ. And I remember, man, I worked with a guy a few years back, and he was a Jewish guy. Amen. And the Bible says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many that did receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons. It's written that they will be blind in this incident that happened in the Old Testament. And not only that, but we also see in Hebrews where they hardened their heart, mm-hmm. right? The gospel was preached, but it was not mixed with faith. So their hearts were hard. Their hearts were blind. They were still in the outer court and in the inner court, but they would not make their way into the most holy place. You know why? Because you got to give up of self. You know why? Because you got to relinquish your power and relinquish your what you want to do, your will, that Christ would live in you. That means we got to die. Let's turn to John 6:62. Listen to this. It says, and this was Jesus Christ, after he did the miracles, after he fed the 5,000 and all this, and he had a bunch of people that followed him. But guess what, y'all? Their hearts were still blind. John chapter 8, it was the same thing. And I thank God. Listen, y'all, pay attention. Mind your manners, as Minister Tober said. Get in this word. Let the word speak to you. I'm learning more going through John and Corinthians now and Revelations and Daniel. Yeah, listen, we have a gold mine in what we have in this word and the opportunity to get up and get in this word. I've learned so much in the book of John when we went through the book of John. And you know what I saw more than anything? Man, the evil and the hatred and the persecution that was cast against Jesus Christ and the opposition of Satan that came against his ministry, right? So he says in 62, what if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was? 63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. But he said, the words that I speak, that's the word of God that we have right now. Right? He said, our spirit and they are life. Y'all see that? This word of God, our meditation in it, to get in it, to get rooted and grounded in it, it's our lifeline. It's our spirit and it's the life. But there were some among you that believed not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto you, unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. And the Bible says from that time forward, many disciples went back and they walked with him no more. And we don't have time to go through this, but when you look at, if you back up to verse 54, 55, 56, he starts telling them, for my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and he that drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. He's talking about relationship. He's talking about submitting yourself, your will, your life to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. And these things, and verse 60 says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, listen, y'all read verse 60. He said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? We've been told that in community. Man, this is too much. It don't, these preachers are crazy in here. It don't take all that. It don't take all that. Why y'all? Lord, help us, help us. When the Lord tell me to preach something else, we will. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's a hard saying. It's not hard. Amen. What it is, it's hard to the flesh. Yes. It's hard on my flesh. My flesh don't like it. Amen. So that's why it's easy to look at our watch. And I'm not knocking. But it's easier. It's easier for me to do works. This is where we're going with this. It's easier for me to do works in the church than it is to be broken to the word of God, pick up my phone, call my brother that I've not spoken to in 15 years, who's living in Oklahoma, or call my aunt, or call my sister. It's easier to do works in the church than to live right. It's easier. You know what? Man, I'm telling you, God had to put me in a place on my face to yield and submit and surrender after he showed me an area of my life where I need to pick up the phone and call this person and apologize. I'd rather go out to the farmhouse, pick string beans for 7 weeks, than to pick up the phone and apologize. And what we want to do is say, I've done all this in the church. Now I can shout. I've cleared my conscience, but you really haven't. Bible says, let not the sun go what? Down on your wrath. Be angry, but sin not. Leave your gift at the altar and go get that thing right. Going and getting that thing right with somebody you have an ought with is harder to do than it is to clean a whole church from top to bottom by yourself. Amen. Because the carnal mind, amen, hates the things of God. And that's what we got to get, man. We've got to be so in love with this word that guess what? You can't help it but to want to be right, want to live right, want to forgive, because you can't do it. And that's what Paul is dealing with. So they said, it's a hard saying. Amen. And who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmur at it, he said to them, doeth this offend you? And the answer was yes. It was offensive. The word was offensive. Amen. Because they were not broken. They were blind. And this guy that I met, he was Jewish. Right, years ago. And now he was pretty good, pretty nice guy, friend of mine on the job. And he knew about, you know, my relationship with the Lord, my relationship with Jesus Christ. And he would always come up to me and have a question for me. And it was somebody, I'm going back to my old building, somebody I was working for. He said, man, how in the world do you work for this person? He said, he called me Saint Randy. He said, I seen that person in action. And nobody wanted to really report to this person, but I did. The Lord put him in my path for a reason. I said, Jesus, why me? You know why me? Why not you? In chapter 4, verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. In whom the God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That, y'all, and that's why we have to pray for the lost. Pray for the unsaved. I don't care how many services they sit through. If God is not ready to open up their eyes, he's the one that saves. Amen. But we can still pray for them that they come to the saving knowledge of God. It's not us. One plant, one water, but it's God that gives the increase. It's not about us. It can't be about us. But it's about God opening up the blind eyes of the lost and the people that do not know Christ. Family members, children, grandchildren, who co-workers. And listen, we can do more in prayer. Mm. Don't get me wrong, you better lift something. Yes. But in prayer that God may open up the blind eyes. Let's go back to chapter 3. And so he says, but their minds were blinded. This was a big pinnacle. When this happened and he had the veil over his face, right? The same veil is untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, right? That means it's because the Old Testament was about external works. That's what the church is about. I mean, the churches that don't preach the gospel. External works. Being good. Being kind. Right? And all that, don't get me wrong. It has its place, but it better start from the inside out. Not from the outside in. And he says, but even this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. It's still upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. That means when we come into Christ and the Holy Spirit, when we believe on him and we repent of our sins, the Holy Spirit comes in, takes up residence, and the veil is now removed off of our hearts. And he says, now the Spirit of the Lord, now the Lord is that Spirit, capital S. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? There is liberty. There is liberty. Right? And there's where we're liberated. There's where we're transferred. There's where we're transformed. What's the verse in Colossians that says we've been translated, right? From the power on the domain of darkness and to the kingdom of his dear son. That don't happen when we get to heaven, but it happens right now when we accept Jesus Christ. Amen. We're transformed, we're translated, and God removes the veil where he opens up our eyes. And then this last verse says, but we with all, with open face, behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, and are changed unto the same image from glory to glory. I'm going to read that again. But we all with open face. Open face means, guess what? We have access by virtue of what Christ did on the cross. We have 100% access to the glory and the presence and the power and the love of Jesus Christ. And that access was made possible by what Jesus Christ did on the cross and our daily intimacy in the Word of God. And that's why Jesus said in John 8, if you continue where? in my word, then you are my what? Disciples indeed. He says, continue. Continue. And I forget what I meant. The Greek word is. That means every day. We are prayer, intimacy. Amen. We ought to continue in that word. Amen. And then we're transformed. Listen, we're transformed into his image. We're transformed. When he says with open face, right? Mm-hmm. That word open face means unveiled. Do y'all realize the access that we have? When the priest offering up the lamb every year would go into the most holy place, and he could only go once a year with bells on the bottom. Amen. And Paul said, I came in fear, weakness, and trembling. That's the reverence we have to carry this gospel. And that same priest once a year would go in, and the Bible says specifically that he had bells at the bottom of his robes that he would not die. So that was the fearing. That's what we listen, once a year, only one person could go through. You had thousands upon thousands or millions maybe outside. Jesus Christ did that. When he died on the cross, he went in. He didn't go into the place made by hand. But the Bible says in Hebrews, he went into the real place. In Hebrews, I think it's 8 or 9. He went into that holy place. The real place. And that, man, when that priest went in there, he had to have something dead. He had to have something dead in his hands. He had to have the blood on his hands. Christ's blood, his perfection, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, is what won our access. So not only, listen, not only did he win our salvation, but he bore our access to the Holy God. If you love me, keep my commandments, and me and the Father will make our abode with you. That's how, listen, y'all, we have access. And we walk around like we don't know what we're going to do. We can come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need to obtain mercy and grace to help. We have access to call on the Father. Amen. And in James, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed. We're changed into the same image. Changed into the same image from glory to glory. Like a butterfly. That a cocoon or a caterpillar. Y'all see what a caterpillar look like? Man, that caterpillar, listen, they're ugly. But that caterpillar dies in the cocoon, and he's transformed into a beautiful butterfly. Amen. And God wants us that as we walk and continue in the word, we're transformed. The speech we used to have, we don't have it no more. The way we used to think, we don't have it no more. I had an old BMW, right? My car. And for years, my handle was broke. I had that handle. That handle was broke for like a year. Maybe longer, right? And I finally got the, I had a button where I could hit my alarm and roll the window down a little bit and reach my hand through and open up that handle. I did it so long, I was good at it. I was quick with it. Man, I would go and have to meet and had a meeting with some people and they all, I don't want to see nobody. I don't want to be embarrassed to know that my handle don't work. So I was real smooth with it. I could roll down the window just a little bit, just enough. They wouldn't know what I was doing. Reach my hand through the window and open up my door. Right? And then one day, I finally got the door handle fixed. It was fixed. It was working right. Praise the Lord. For weeks, guess what I was doing? I was forgetting that the handle was fixed. And I was still rolling down the window. And going through and opening up, I would leave the back window down. I still had the old mindset. I still had that old mentality. Amen. And so when he talks about we're being changed into the same image from glory to glory, that means we're growing, we're going somewhere, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity, naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to what? Save your souls. But be what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer of the word, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. Listen, and when I use the illustration of the car was already fixed. Who's the person that needs to be fixed? Would the car need to be fixed? Once I got the car fixed, who needed to be fixed? I needed to be fixed. Bible says in Psalms 119, how can a young man what? Cleanse his what? Ways. By what? Taking heed to the word of God. Amen? And so he says here, he says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth away straightway, forgetting what manner of man he was. But, and that's talking about a church or a person that doesn't apply, that's not broken to the word of God. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, that word continue means something. That means continue in the word. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the scornful, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and do his law do thee what? Meditate day and once a week.
Right.
Day and when I go to Sunday school. Day and night. Day and night is the absorption of the word, engrafted, applied. And somebody thinking right now, man, you are crazy. Yes, I am. Paul called himself a fool for Christ. We're fools. You've got to get in this word intimately every day. And I know, I'll explain what I mean. Every day, you might skip a day, but consistently. Amen. And he says, but whoso looketh in the law of liberty and continueth, that's the key. Mm-hmm. We don't continue. Or having a bad day, I'm in my feelings. In your feelings. You got to continue. Continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man. That means, and that don't mean do the stuff in the church. No, it means application, but that's applied, continuing, mm-hmm. daily. And I'm telling you, the word of God is like a heat-seeking missile. I can't explain it, but how in the world I'm feeling some type of way, I'm going through something, I'm reading something in Exodus. This is how good the word is. It's like taking, I don't know, this is a bad analogy, taking medicine. I don't know, I got a footache, but the medicine was able to get to the footache, right? Or Advil. But whatever it is you're going through, you can read something. It may not necessarily be what you're going through, but the word of God is living. It's breathing. It's an organism. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I came in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will. When we get into the word of God and we're broken to the word of God is Jesus Christ himself. It comes off the page wherever you are. And guess what? The spirit, right? When it talks about in Romans 8, for we don't even know what to pray, but the Holy Ghost maketh utterance with words that can't even be spoken. Through groanings. Guess what? The word of God does the same thing. The word of God does the same thing. It's able to meet you where you are. You might have to do a cross-reference, but it's the Holy Spirit. And I've been there in the conversation. I don't know where in the world the verse came from. And I was able to deliver this verse. Where did that come from? Has anybody ever done that? You know where the verse came from. Right? You didn't even know you knew the verse. That's the living word of God. And that's why we got to be in it every day. Amen. And so when he talks about in verse 3, chapter 3, that we all with open face behold as in the glass the glory of the Lord, right? And are changed into the same image. That's Jesus Christ, because he is the word, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. We're going to stop right there. Amen. And I just listen, I thank God, y'all, for this word. It's definitely the very air that we breathe. Amen. It's our everything. And not only that, that word talks about intentional. We have to be intentional. Amen. To let the word govern all of our lives. Amen. Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you. To know that you alone are God all by yourself. And besides you, there is none other. And just like God, we talk about the veil that's over the mind of people that don't know you. And the veil that's over the minds of even false cults and religions or false ideologies. We pray, oh God, right now in the name of Jesus, that you would just continue to open up blind eyes and those that don't know you. Family members, children, grandchildren, loved ones that don't know you, we pray for the lost. We pray for the unsaved, that they will come to a saving knowledge of you. God, we know it's not by our power. It's not by our mind, but it's by your Spirit, saith the Lord. And even as we talk on this line tonight, God, we pray that, Lord, you would just break us. Break our hearts to this word, oh God, I pray that you would just instill in the hearts of these that are your people, that we would just have an urgency, just a greater love affair with you, not a relationship that's forced or coerced, but only because we love you. When the disciples walked and talked with you, they said, did not our hearts burn within? Oh God, give us that burning. Give us that as the deer panteth after the water brook. So does our souls and our hearts thirst and hunger after you. We pray for our preachers, oh God. We pray for Reverend Williams, his family, Minister Tolbert, his family, oh God, continue to strengthen him, comfort these families, Evangelist Claudia, oh God, her and her family, oh God, we pray that you just continue to touch them, Deacon Wright, and all of our deacons, all of our leaders, all of our auxiliaries, oh God, we pray, oh Lord, that you just keep us just unified through your word, God, that we will just continue to love one another, oh God, Lord. We thank you. We pray for our kids, our teenagers, all the bereaved families, and all of the names that we call, we pray that you strengthen them and comfort them and meet them in the place of pain where they are. God, we love you and we bless you. For it's in Jesus' name, for sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. Amen.